So we turn back now to the first chapter of 1 Peter. We remember, first of all, Peter was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He knew Jesus personally. He wrote to the Christians that were scattered throughout Asia Minor at the time. And he wrote, as we talked a couple weeks ago, about praising God, praising be to God for our living hope. And we talked about the joy that we have in Christ and how we rejoice as an action of that joy, that we rejoice for what He's shown us, what He's given us, and what He's promised us. That He's shown us great mercy, that He's given us this new birth, and He's given us hope, and He's promised us an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now, as we go on in life, well, it's hard to rejoice, isn't it? It's hard to keep that in mind. Day in and day out, as life pounds away at us and wears away at us, like waves wearing away at a stone. Day in and day out, we fight the battles, the trials and the tribulations and the sufferings. And all of a sudden, the joy seems to have a way of diminishing in our lives. And we cease to rejoice. In 1 Peter, Peter wants the believers to know, to understand, to find peace in and strength in God's presence and His present work in our lives right now. Day in and day out in our lives amidst the storms. So I was driving home from Columbus, Ohio last evening. I went through a torrential downpour that covered miles and miles and miles of the Akron area in Ohio. And as I was involved in all that, I was praying for protection, and I was giving God thanksgiving for my car, that I was protected from all the rain and safe in my car. And thoughts started going through my mind of God's people going through the desert, the wilderness, how they were wandering, and how what's called the Shekinah glory of God went before them on each side and behind them. God's presence, the Shekinah glory, is used symbolically as a word to describe God's presence in your lives or in our lives, in my life. It was used to describe God's presence in the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. So I was thinking of the Shekinah glory of God being all around me, protecting me, being a shield for me, even though there was that possibility of being in an accident and dying. I knew God would not let me down. In the storms of life and the battles we face, the storms that we go through, things happen every single day. There isn't one of us here today that can say, nothing happened last week. My life was a bowl of cherries all week long. I had absolutely no stress. I didn't face any issues. Unless maybe you lived in a box all week or in a closet somewhere, which then your issues would have been you'd have gotten hungry and so on and so forth. But we face sickness. We face depression. We face financial woes. We face broken relationships, sin, loneliness, broken hearts, broken dreams, broken homes, and various unforeseen emergencies. But one thing that we all seem to need at some point in life is a protector, a shield, because we know the storms of life are sure to come. And even though we don't know when they will come, one thing we can do is be prepared for the worst. And we can be prepared in a way that we batten down the hatches and be prepared for whatever comes our way. This term, batten down the hatches, comes from terms in Admiral Smith's Sailor's Word Book back in the 1800s. He uses the term battening of the hatches. And we say now that we batten down the hatches. Battens were long, narrow strips of wood that as they spread out the tarps over the ports and the hatchways, they nailed them down with these strips, these wooden strips, to keep them from flopping and flapping. They served by the help of nailing them to confine the edges of the tarps and keep them close down to the ship. And in this way, the ship was protected and shielded from the storm and the storm's sinking power on the ship to fill the ship and saturate it and fill it up to the point where it could no longer float. You ever feel sunken in life? Maybe you're feeling that way today. You just simply feel so overburdened, you're sunk. Like life's problems are weighing you down. I'm glad you're here this morning, by the way, because this is where we should be. We should take time out to come together with our burdens, to share our burdens, to surrender our burdens at the cross, to learn about the presence of God, and to go back out into the storm. What do we do when the storms happen? What do we do when the storms, the torrential storms, come in waves? We batten down the hatches with faith in God, who is our shield and our defense. And Peter explains this in the scripture this morning. He says, as we remember, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us this new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed." What he's saying here is that he's praising God because God has shown His mercy. He's revealed Himself in Jesus Christ. He's adopted us in that He has promised us an inheritance, implying that we are His children and He has adopted us. So He adopted us and has given us an inheritance. And also that He shields us. He shields us. This hope, this living hope kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded. Okay? He revealed Himself, He adopted us, and now He shields us. The King James Version uses the term for the you who through faith are kept. And that word "kept" in the Greek comes, it's a compound word that comes from two different words, pro and haraho, which means to go in front of and stare at. Now I want you to think about this. For you who through faith are shielded or are kept, okay, by God. In other words, God goes in front of and watches in advance, mounting a guard as a sentinel, preparing the way for us. Isn't that what He did in the wilderness, this people? Fiery pillar by night, a cloud by day. He led His people in Shekinah glory. He shielded them as they came to the Red Sea. And there they were. And behind them came the Egyptian armies. And they said, "What have you done, Lord? You've led us out here to be killed by our enemies." There was no way out, and the situation seemed hopeless. And you know what God did? He did so many things. He revealed Himself, and He shielded His people. He moved from being in front of them to behind them to hold back the armies of Egypt, the enemies. And then He reached around in front of them and He went, and the Red Sea opened up for His people to go through. While He had held the enemy back, millions went through the Red Sea. And when the time came and they got to the other side, God said, "Okay." And He said, "Go." And the enemy pursued God's people. And God allowed them, the enemy, to get in the midst of the Red Sea. And He went, whoosh, over the problem. Going in front of, watching our shield and our defender. A Roman shield in this time, the time of Peter and the days of Jesus, a Roman shield that was used by the Roman army, was approximately 30 inches wide, about that wide, and 48 inches high, lot of the shields in ancient times and medieval times had a sign on the front of the king, signifying that the army was of a certain king. And what they would do in these medieval times and ancient times, the armies, the first people in the army, the first line of the army would have their shield, and they'd stand side by side with their shield, and it would form a human wall, and they'd walk towards the enemy. Well, the first line of offense from the enemy was the arrows. So they'd use their shields to protect them, and then the arrows would come flying at them, and they'd hold them up to protect themselves from the arrows. Until that first wave of arrows was done, they'd go back down and they'd move forward some more, and they kept doing this until they were confronting the enemy hand to hand, destroying the enemy. But the shield was always present with them. It was a companion of protection. It was the first line of defense that went before them. It resisted what came at it, and it gave courage to continue on. It gave a sense of safety and strength. It built the confidence of the armies that no matter what came at them, their shield could hold it off. And it gave a base from which to launch the attack when the time came and they had come upon the enemy. Away went the shield, and out came the knives and the swords, and they slay the enemy. Without the shield, one was vulnerable to being killed and being destroyed forever. About a year or so ago, I had a hard time giving up about $40 or so for a pair of pants. I learned that I needed a shield when I went hunting in the mornings as the fields were wet, maybe from the frost thaw, maybe from the heavy dew, or maybe even from rain overnight. Now, of course, I was getting soaked. Any of you who ever hunted know what it's like to get soaked when you hunt. So I went looking for water-resistant pants, a protector, a shield from that. And I put these on and I go out. Even though the field's wet, I know I'm going to stay dry and I'm going to be protected and shielded from the water because of something that's in the fabric itself that protects me and shields me from that. And I look out my window in the morning, and if I see it's wet, I put on my shield or my protection. Also, I soon learned that traipsing around a lot of the woods and the fields around here, you needed a good pair of waterproof boots or your feet would get soaked, ruin your day, and you'd be miserable for the whole day. So I went out and, again, I had a hard time giving up my money, parting with my earthly goods for a protector, for a shield from the water. Now, I can't see what's in these, but there's Gore-Tex in them. Gore-Tex is a membrane in these boots. Even though the leather gets wet on the outside, I don't get wet on the inside. And I let the mud on that and the grass and stuff this morning, because you know something? Even though I get muddy and dirty, I stay dry and clean on the inside because I have a shield and a protector. Even though we can't see God in our lives, putting our faith in God shields us and protects us from all the storms, all the things that we're vulnerable to. It shields us from even death penetrating our very souls and taking us. Now God says, even though you get muddy and a little dirty, you're going to live. And we say, why is God allowing these to happen? Why doesn't he just let me go without all these problems and troubles? Life would be a whole lot better. No, it wouldn't. That's not the whole point. This is not what we were created for. We were created for heaven. Though you may now for a little while have had to suffer great grief and all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith may be proved genuine. Faith in what? What am I going to do when I'm traipsing around the fields and it's wet? Am I going to tape a bunch of dollar bills to my legs to keep me dry? Am I going to use my own physical power to keep me You see, there isn't a thing in this world that can protect us and be our first line of defense and resist the enemy when he comes at us. I'm going to tell you a little story, and then I'm going to close this morning. The preacher is always the first one to get the sermon, and I want to tell you something. The preacher is always the one who has to live up to his own words. Last Monday, things started to happen. I talked 2 weeks ago of this very passage about rejoicing, which meant jumping for joy, not because we have the problems, but because we have a God who is greater than the problems. God doesn't care about the problems. The problems don't resist Him and reject Him. The people do. What God wants is your heart, and He does not want you to reject Him. So Monday morning started out. All right, my calendar was full for the week already. Going to school on Friday, still having to finish my paper for school. Wanted to visit 4 hospitals that week, and which were at separate ends of what seemed like eternity. And Monday morning, things started to happen. And I don't want you to take this in the wrong way, but the phone rang. And one by one, things started piling up. Wow. By the end of the day, Monday, I want to tell you, I was hating life. I was hating life because, why, God? This is such a busy week. You knew this week was coming. It kept coming and coming and coming. Tuesday morning, the Bible says joy comes in the morning, and oh, it sure does. Every morning with my dog as we walk and talk and share that time together with Almighty God. God said to me, remember what you told the people when they get in these situations? To sing and to rejoice. And that's what I did. I started to sing. You ever hear somebody singing going down through the woods? I started to sing. I started to rejoice. Because I knew that God already was going ahead of me like He did His people in the wilderness, that Shekinah glory, that my week was already planned out for me, that He was already there protecting me. Because you see, what started to happen to me, the enemy started to say to me, you can't do this anymore. You need to pack up your bags and leave. You can't handle this. You're not the one. But God said, no. Rejoice. Jump for joy. I've already gone ahead of you and prepared the way. And by the time I left 7 o'clock Friday morning to head for Columbus, Ohio, everything that week had fallen perfectly into place. Everything. And I saw how God had gone before and protected me and shielded me from the enemy. We rejoice because of what God has shown us, what He's given us, and what He's promised us. And as we battle day in and day out, we remember that we have not something, we have someone of greater power than all the earth. In fact, the one who created the earth. He's going to let us be muddy. Because you want to know something? I love these boots. They're comfortable, they protect me, they keep me dry. And in the same way, I love God. Because day in and day out, even though I get muddy, even though I get banged up, even though on the outside I might be a little soggy and wet, on the inside, God's protecting and providing even to death. So many times we should remember to say, be still my soul. The Lord's on my side. In every change, God faithful will remain. Be still my soul. Your best, your heavenly friend through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Even in death, we're shielded from the enemy coming and taking our lives and casting it into darkness for all eternity. Be still my soul, because God will undertake to guide the future as in ages past. Our hope and our confidence, let nothing shake. What's now mysterious shall someday be bright at last. Be still, my soul, because the waves and the winds still know the one who ruled them while he dwelt below. And though the hour is hastening on when we shall be forever with the Lord, when disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgotten, love's purest joys restored, be still, my soul. Because when change and tears are past, and they will be, we'll be safe and blessed, and we'll meet at last. God is our strength and our shield. He's our first line of defense. He's a companion that's always present. He resists whatever comes at him. He gives courage to continue on. He builds confidence. He gives a base from which to launch our attack at Satan, at the enemy, because the Bible tells us, resist him and he'll flee. And without him in our lives, we're going to be vulnerable to depression, to loneliness, to brokenheartedness, broken dreams, broken homes, broken relationships, sickness, and all these things, the storms of life, the battles we face. We rejoice, and praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who keeps in heaven for us an inheritance for us who through faith are shielded by God's power until Christ comes again. Our God,